We're turning again in God's Word to Jonah chapter 1 as we come to the Word of God this evening. Let's just ask for God's help, God's special help, that God will draw near and speak to us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth that we have been singing about once again. We thank you for the one who has perfected all for us in regard to salvation. He has fully completed. He has finished the work. And therefore we can sing of the truth that is well. It is well with our souls. Blessed be that our sin, oh, the blessed of this glorious thought, our sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and we bear them no more. We can truly say, praise the Lord, oh my soul. We thank you for salvation tonight. And Lord, now as we turn to your word, we pray that thou would speak to us. Speak to the need of every heart. We pray that you'll fit your truth to the need of every soul. Lord, come this evening into our midst in the closing moments of this meeting. May we know thy presence. May we know thy help. O God, draw near to us now. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The biblical account of Jonah the prophet is one of the most well-known portions in God's word. The Lord commanded Jonah to go to the great city of Nineveh and to preach against the sin and wickedness of that place. Nineveh was a Gentile city, and it was filled with immorality and evil of every kind. The task then God gave to Jonah was to go before these people and to point out their sinfulness, point out their wickedness, and to warn them that unless they repented from their wickedness and sin, then God's judgment would fall upon them. In chapter 3 and the verse 4, we are told that the message Jonah preached when he eventually went to Nineveh was 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And so the mission, the special mission the Lord gave to the prophet Jonah was to warn the Ninevites about the serious consequences of their sin and wickedness. Yet Jonah, instead of obeying God's word and going to Nineveh, headed in the opposite direction. We read in verse 3 in chapter 1, and Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He did not want to preach to the wicked and immoral Gentile people that lived there. He was a Jew, and he was prejudiced against these people. He didn't want to have anything to do with them. And so he did the complete opposite to that which God said. He went to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, got on board, and thought he had avoided this unpleasant task of going to preach to these people that he did not like. At the end of verse 5, we are told, Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. These words clearly reveal to us that Jonah believed he had got away with disobeying God and of going to preach in Nineveh. He was now headed in the opposite direction and was fast asleep. And it seemed he hadn't a care in the world. He didn't want to do that which God asked him to do. And so he went the other way, got a ship, and it seemed that everything was just working out for him now. And he was fast asleep without a thought of what he had done and without a care in the world. But we know the story well. God supernaturally intervened and brought a great storm down upon the sea. Eventually, as a result of this great storm, Jonah was thrown overboard. He was then swallowed by a great fish, which the Lord had prepared. And after spending 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly, Jonah was vomited out onto dry land. After these dramatic and supernatural events, Jonah then went and preached God's word to the people of Nineveh, where a great revival broke out, and many of the people in that wicked city repented of their sin and came to know God's salvation in their lives. The little book of Jonah is then truly a remarkable book in the Word of God. It truly is an outstanding story. And it's not just a story in the sense of a legend, it's the truth. This is what happened. This is a historical fact. Jonah went and he preached in Nineveh, and these people were converted. God's dealings with Jonah, his disobedient servant, are spectacular. And God's dealings with the wicked people of Nineveh are also wonderful. These people who seem to be heading for God's judgment, God was gracious unto them. And many of them came to know God's salvation. However, this evening as we turn to this book, I do not want us to focus our attention on the prophet Jonah, or even on the people of Nineveh that were wonderfully converted as Jonah preached to them. Instead, I want us to think of another group of people that are brought before us in these verses. These people that I want us to think upon are the sailors who were in the ship with Jonah as he sailed from Joppa to Tarshish. You see, in Jonah chapter 1, God's Spirit speaks of these men, these sailors, in some detail. And we're really brought to consider these men. The Lord focuses in upon them in his word. As well as being told that they were sailors, we also read of how they were sinners. In verse 5, it says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God." These men were then idolaters. They worshipped false gods. They knew not the true God, the living God. They were great sinners. They were involved in idolatrous worship. They were involved in false religion. This passage also speaks about the sincerity of these men. We read in verse 13, "The men rowed hard to bring it to the land," that is to bring the ship to the land, "but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them." These seamen did all that they could to bring the boat to land so that Jonah would not have to be thrown overboard. Jonah had told them, "Listen, if you want the sea to be calm, throw me overboard." But they didn't want to do that. They were sincere men. They were honest men. They were genuine men. And so they tried as best as they could, and with all of their efforts, to bring the ship to the land. And so we're given some detail about these men that were on the ship with Jonah. They were sailing men. They were sinful men. They were sincere men. Yet there is one truth. One truth about these seamen that God keeps drawing to our attention in this passage. And that is their fear. Their fear. Three times in Jonah 1, we read of these sailors being filled with fear. Now, sailors generally aren't known as men who are being filled with fear. This is not something that is commonly found in sailors, particularly in Jonah's day. They're usually known as hard men, rugged men, brave men, fearless men. But here in this chapter, Jonah chapter 1, we read of how these men were filled with fear. Therefore, this is what I want us to focus upon as we think of these mariners or these sailors this evening that were on the ship with Jonah. Their fear. The subject that we're coming to consider this evening is the truth about fear. Because this is what these men really reveal to us. They reveal to us not only their own fear, but the truth about fear. The truth about fear in this world and in our lives. And there are a number of things that I want us to consider as we think about these men and how they experienced the dreaded emotion of fear. In the first place, we see here the rational fear. The rational fear. We read of this in verse 5. We'll read verse 4 as well just to get the context. It says in verses 4 and 5, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God." On this particular day, as these mariners were sailing along in their ship, a mighty tempest suddenly arose in the sea. And such was the ferocity of this storm, it appeared that this ship was going to be broken to pieces. It was going to be destroyed. This was the dreadful circumstances these men unexpectedly found themselves in. They were caught at sea in a violent storm, and they thought their vessel was going to be smashed to pieces. It is then no surprise that we read in verse 5, "Then the mariners were afraid." Any right-thinking person caught in such a terrible situation would have been afraid. Any right-thinking person would have been afraid if they were found in a very similar circumstance. These men, no doubt, were experienced seamen and had faced choppy seas and stormy weather on many occasions before. And so they would have understood the nature of the sea. But this present storm was something that they had never faced before. The word tempest here in verse 5 literally means a hurricane or a whirlwind. And so this is what was tossing their ship around. It was a hurricane or a whirlwind sent from God. It was a great storm, a most vicious storm. Their little ship was being lifted up and casted down and tossed to and fro amongst the waves. A most vicious, a most violent storm they were caught in. The only rational response to such a terrible danger would, of course, be fear. This then was the first fear which these sailors experienced that day. Rational fear because of their situation, because of the danger that they were in. Now this fear, this rational fear, is that which affects all men and all women in this world of sin. It is something that is common to all men and women. When we perceive danger in our lives, when we consider something to be a threat or unpleasant, then fear springs up in our hearts and in our minds. And we become afraid. We become fearful. When we perceive danger, when we perceive a threat or something to be unpleasant, then we become fearful, we become anxious, we become concerned. There are a multitude of things which people are afraid of. And different people are afraid of all sorts of different things. Indeed, if you were to sit down and try to list the things that people are afraid of, you would soon discover that the list is endless. Think of all the things that people are afraid of. They're afraid of the dark. They're afraid of the unknown. People are afraid of change. They're afraid of sickness. They're afraid of flying. They're afraid of certain places, certain people, certain animals. The word that is often used is phobia. And people have phobias for all sorts of different things. But you see, in this world, men and women are afraid of a multitude of things. The simple truth is, fear is a terrible reality in the lives of all men. Fear is a terrible reality in the lives of all. Nevertheless, as we think of the very presence of fear in our lives, it is important to remind ourselves why fear is found in this world. Why is it such a dreaded reality in the lives of men and women? Why do we experience fear? Why are we fearful? Why do we find at times that we have fear in our hearts and we can't do anything about it? It takes hold upon us. It comes into our minds and in our hearts and we're fearful. Why? Why is this the case? Well, this is something that is very much illustrated for us in these verses in Jonah chapter 1. Why did this violent storm, this hurricane, come down upon the sea that day? Why did this whirlwind suddenly appear out of nowhere? Why did this happen? The answer is simply this. It was because of sin. Because Jonah disobeyed God. And that's why this hurricane, that's why this great storm came down upon the sea and was tossing this little boat about. It was because of Jonah's sin, his disobedience. Therefore we can say, the fear that these sailors experienced was a direct result of them being caught up in a sinful situation. It was because they were caught up in a sinful, disobedient situation. Now this is exactly the reason why all men experience fear in this world. It is because we live in a world that has fallen into sin and wickedness. It is because we, like these sailors, are found in a sinful situation. We are part of a broken world. And that's just the reality of living in this world. It is a sinful world. And because it is a fallen and sinful world, it is a world in which there is fear. When God created this world, it was a place in which there was no fear. No fear at all. Now we can't imagine this. We can't entertain such a thought. Living without fear, living without concern, living without anxiety, living without distress. Such a thing is so far removed from our experience in life. We can't even imagine it. Yet, this was the state of affairs when God created this world. There was no fear. Adam and Eve in their original created state had no fear, had no dread, had no concern, had no anxiety in their lives whatsoever. They lived at peace. Fear was unknown. Then after they fell into sin, this is what we immediately read in Genesis 3. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. As soon as sin entered into this world, as soon as Adam and Eve found themselves in a fallen and in a sinful situation, then they experienced the dreaded emotion of fear. Fear entered in. They didn't know it up to this point. But as soon as they sinned, they were afraid. Fear took hold upon them. This then is the reason why we all experience fear. It is because we are part of a ruined and broken creation. We're part of a sinful world. As we then experience fear in life, it ought to remind us of the sinful state in which we are found. And I want you to understand that tonight. As you experience fear, whatever that fear might be, whatever that concern might be, whatever that anxiety might be that you experience in life, it is another reminder to you that you're a sinner. And you're part of a sinful and broken world. And this world has been separated from God. And it's under God's curse and judgment. And that's why you experience that dreadful emotion of fear. This was what fear would have reminded our first parents of. And think of that. Every time Adam and Eve were afraid, every time they were concerned, it would have been a reminder to them, oh, we have sinned against God. We have broken His laws. This wasn't what we experienced in the beginning when God created us. We only experienced this because of sin. That was what fear would have reminded them of their fallen sinful state. And so as we experience fear in life, rational fear, fear at all sorts of different things, it is a reminder to us, a constant reminder to us. We live in a sinful and fallen world, that we too are sinners in need of salvation. And so we see here the rational fear of these sailors. They experienced a rational fear because of their situation. They were in a storm. But then in the second place, notice here, not only the rational fear, but the righteous fear. This is brought before us in the words of verses 7 to 10. Let's read these verses again. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. The situation on the ship that day got so bad that the sailors decided to cast lots. They wanted to cast lots to see who it was among them that had brought this evil upon their heads. These sailors obviously believed that this most violent and unusual storm was the result of some great sinner being with them on their ship. And so they engaged in this superstitious activity of casting lots. We don't know how they cast lots. Perhaps they pulled maybe marked stones out of a bag. That's what is often thought of in ancient times when people cast lots. They put stones into a bag and every stone was marked. And then each individual would put their hand in and draw out a stone. And one stone would have a specific mark on it. And it would reveal and identify the person they were looking for. This was the kind of activity that was involved in casting lots. And so as they cast lots, we're told here that the lot fell on Jonah. It fell on Jonah. These terrified men ask him then, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. In other words, they ask Jonah, what have you done? What have you done that you've brought this terrible situation upon us? How have you behaved? What evil have you been involved in? What wickedness have you been up to, Jonah, that all of these circumstances have come upon us? And they ask him why. Why they now face these terrible things. Jonah then answers them by explaining what he had done. He says he was God's servant, and in disobedience he had ran from God's presence. He really just explains his behavior here. He explains to them what he has done. After Jonah then explains the truth of the situation to these sailors, see what it says in the opening words of verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. Now here we read about a whole new level of fear. Before they were afraid, but now they were exceedingly afraid. A new terror, a different terror, takes grip upon their souls. Of course, the obvious question we need to ask here is, why were these men now more afraid? Why were they now taken with a greater and a more dreadful fear? Well, the reason these sailors were now exceedingly afraid is because the fear that they now experienced was a righteous fear. It was a righteous fear. Previous to this, it was merely a rational fear that gripped their hearts and minds. They were afraid because of their circumstances and the danger they found themselves in. They were afraid of the storm. And that's something that we can understand. It was a terrible situation. They were afraid of the storm before. But now as Jonah brings the truth to them, the truth of why they are found in this situation, a holy and righteous terror now grips their souls. They're afraid because they understand the truth. You see, the difference between rational fear and righteous fear is righteous fear is the result of hearing the truth. It is the result of hearing the truth. These men were afraid of the storm before. They were afraid of the wind that was blowing. They were afraid of the danger that was coming because of this situation. And then they come to Jonah and they ask him, what have you done? And he sets the truth before them. And now a whole different level of fear strikes upon them. They're no longer afraid of the storm. As the truth hits them, they are now afraid of God. They are now afraid of the Lord. This is a righteous fear. A righteous fear. We should note here, rational fear did not turn them from their sin. Because in the storm, they continued to worship their false gods. They continued to worship their false gods in the storm. That's what they did. Every man called unto his own god. They continued on in their idolatry. And so rational fear didn't turn them from their idolatry. And we should note this because this is what we see in our society. There are many people today afraid of the coronavirus, afraid of taking it. And many people living in fear. But you see, this is rational fear. It doesn't turn them to God. The only thing that will turn a man to God is a righteous fear in the soul. A righteous fear that flows out of the truth. And we even see this in this very story. Because when they hear the truth and are gripped with a righteous fear, this in the end leads to repentance in their lives. Because verse 14 tells us they cried not unto their gods, but unto the Lord. Unto the true God. Unto the living God. And so righteous fear is a fear that is connected to the truth. When men and women in their sin come to grasp something of the truth, then a righteous fear of God will be found in their hearts. When they grasp the truth of their circumstances and their situation, then a righteous fear of God will take hold upon them. Very often this fear is referred to as conviction. And this is how it's often referred to, as conviction. And we witness this many times in the conversions of individuals in the Bible. When Christ met Saul on the road to Damascus, we read in Acts 9 verse 6, "And he that is Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Saul was a man and he was persecuting the church. He was wanting to arrest Christians and put them into prison. He wanted them to be put to death. He wanted to destroy the church. Christ met with him. He met the truth. And as soon as that happened in his life, it tells us he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" See, he came into contact with the truth. The truth hit him. Suddenly a righteous fear took hold upon him. The same thing happened with the Philippian jailer. That night he was sleeping while the prisoners were all locked away without a thought in the world. And then God by a spirit shook the prison that night. We read of how he fell down before Paul and Silas trembling. Trembling. A righteous fear took hold upon him. This is the difference between a rational fear and a righteous fear. A rational fear is just dealing with our situation, the situations that we face in life. But a righteous fear flows out of the truth of God. Now, as we think of these sailors being gripped with this righteous fear, we need to consider what truth Jonah brought before them. What truth he brought before them to cause them to be so terrified. What did he say to these hard men that moved them to be exceedingly afraid? Well, he really set before them two great truths that filled them with this righteous fear. He first of all told them the truth about the character of sin. The truth about the character of sin. Notice again the words of verse 10. "Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." Note here, Jonah tells these men he fled from the presence of the Lord. The thought here is, he turned his back on God. He disobeyed God's command. That's the thought here. Fleeing from God's presence speaks about disobeying God, turning your back on God. Think of a child, a young boy, for example, that is told to do something by his parents, his father or mother. When he hears what he's been asked, he ignores what he is told and walks out of the room in defiance and in disobedience. That child is rebelling, defiantly rebelling against his parents, turning his back upon them without having any regard for them or what they ask him to do. Well, this is exactly what Jonah is saying here. He's telling these men how he had defied and disobeyed the Lord. I have defied and disobeyed the Lord. I have rebelled against the Lord. And that's a fearful thing. Think of these words in verse 9, because Jonah describes his God here. He says in verse 9, "I am an Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." He says to these men, my God's the true God. He's the creator. He's the almighty. He's the all sovereign one. And yet I defied him. I turned my back on him. I walked away out of his presence. I wouldn't listen to his word. This is a most solemn thing, you see. This is the character of sin. And he reveals to these men the character of sin. I serve the living God. But I turned my back on him. And I disobeyed him. This is the character of sin. It's no small matter. It's no small matter. But it's rebellion against the Lord. Oh, when we understand the character of sin, then a righteous fear will fill our hearts. So often we sin and we think our sin is just something small and insignificant. It's not really a big thing. There are other people out there in this world and they're sinning big sins, but not me. My sins aren't that significant. Let me tell you this, sin is defiance against God. It's rebelling against him. It's turning your back upon him. Saying, I will not listen, I will not heed, I will not do what you say. And when we grasp the nature, the character of our sin, exactly what it is, and what we're doing, That will fill the heart with a righteous fear. This is what Jonah said to these men. And this is what caused them to be gripped with this righteous fear, and to be exceedingly fearful. He told them then the truth about the character of sin. Notice also here, he told them the truth about the consequences of sin. Read of this in verses 11 and 12. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Jonah makes these men aware that this storm, this violent storm, this hurricane, is a manifestation of God's anger and displeasure at sin. And that's what he makes them aware of here. He says all of these things is but a manifestation of God's anger. And if you throw me overboard, then the sea will be calm. Because these things are all a manifestation of God's anger at my sin and of my disobedience. This is the consequences of sin. It brings the sinner under the terrible judgment and wrath of God. This is the consequences of sin. These sailors that day clearly understood God is righteous and holy. He is justly angry at sin and he will punish sin. But they understood that so clearly that day. They witnessed it firsthand. God's displeasure at sin. The viciousness, the violence of the storm was preaching to them, God hates sin, God must punish sin. And they understood that. They came to see the consequences of sin. And as they witnessed this, they were filled with this righteous fear. They were exceedingly fearful. This then was the truth that Jonah brought before these men that produced this righteous fear in their hearts. The truth about sin, its character, and its consequences. How important it is that men and women understand the truth about sin. Oh, this is so important. That we understand and we grasp something of the truth about sin. The reason why multitudes are tramping the road to hell without a concern and without a care is not because they're not in danger. It's not because they're not in great danger. But it's because they're ignorant of that danger. They are ignorant of the character of sin. They are living in defiance against the living God. And they're ignorant of the consequences of sin that will bring eternal ruin to their souls. And so in this life, righteous fear is not found in their hearts or in their souls. They don't experience this righteous fear that these sailors experienced because they're living in ignorance. And this is how they continue to live. And it is the most fearful thing. Here are people and they're living in the very edge of eternity. On the edge of eternal ruin. On the edge of damnation itself. On the edge of the lake of fire. And they're ignorant of that. And so they've no fear. They're but a breath away from God's eternal judgment. Yet they are not filled with righteous fear. Yet on the day of judgment, such people will be so gripped with the most terrible righteous fear. Oh, on that day they will understand. The Bible tells us in Revelation 6, those still in their sin when Christ returns shall hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Why are these people hiding on this day? Why are they even crying for the mountains and rocks to fall on them? Now, of course, such a thing would create rational fear. You would never want rocks and mountains to fall upon you. You would be afraid of those things normally. But you see, these people are now gripped with a righteous fear. They understand the consequences of their sin. They understand the character of their sin. And they're saying, fall on us, hide us from him who sits upon the throne and his judgment. This is the fearfulness of righteous fear. It is a most dreadful thing, a most terrible thing. Oh, better in this life to be gripped with it and to repent of sin and to stand in the judgment on that day to be gripped with righteous fear. These sailors experienced rational fear because of their situation. They experienced righteous fear because of their sin. Notice one other fear here. See their reverential fear. We read of this in verses 15 and 16. So they took up Jonah and cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Notice here that the fear that now filled the hearts of these sailors came about after they experienced salvation. As soon as they cast Jonah overboard, the sea ceased from her raging. Now you would think that this would have put an end to all fear. They were caught in this terrible situation. And you would think as soon as the sea was calm, oh, there'd have been instant relief. A great sigh of relief. It's over. We're safe. We're not going to perish. But verse 16 tells us, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Now what we read of here is not a terrifying and distressing fear, but a reverential fear. The fear of the storm, yes, it was gone. The fear of sin was gone. But they now were filled with another type of fear. And we can call this a blessed fear. A good fear. These men were not running from God here. They were running to God. Because they worshipped the Lord. This is what verse 16 tells us. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now they come and they worship God. This is the fear that is found in the heart of the true believer. The Christian, the believer, has experienced the power of God's salvation in their lives. They're forgiven. They're accepted with God. There is a peace in their souls, and they've felt the power of salvation. They've experienced this in their own souls. And so the result of this is, they, with a holy and reverential fear, now worship the Lord. He is precious to them. He is dear to them. And they worship him with a sense of awe and a sense of reverence and a sense of respect. And that's what these sailors did here. They were brought to see the glory of God. They were brought to witness and experience the wonder of his salvation in their lives. And now they bow in his presence and they acknowledge him to be God and they worship him with a holy and reverential fear. Psalm 111 in the verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what these men experienced here. This wise fear that worships the Lord. Could I ask you, is this reverential fear found in your heart? This reverential fear for God? Have you, like these sailors, experience God's salvation? Are you a true worshiper of the Lord? Do you fear him as your God? Do you know him as your God? The glorious God? These sailors experienced rational fear because of their situation. They experienced righteous fear because of their sin. Then they experience reverential fear because of their salvation. Now what about you and fear? What about you and fear? We are considering tonight the truth about fear. What about the truth about fear in you? Yes, you're subject to rational fear like all men are. There's things you are afraid of. But have you experienced righteous fear in your soul? Fear that comes out of understanding your need as a sinner. Have you ever experienced reverential fear? A fear that respects God? A fear that worships God? A fear that puts God above everything else in life? A fear that acknowledges God to be God and God alone? This is the fear of the true believer. This is the beginning of wisdom. Why trust that this will be the fear that will be found in all of our hearts? A true fear of God. A reverential fear that brings us to Him and to the place of worship and adoration. May God be pleased to bless His truth to our hearts this evening for His own name's sake. Amen.